Well, my special thanks to your pastor, David Lohse, and to this congregation for inviting me to preach on this important Gratitude Sunday. I often tell congregations where a former student of mine is the pastor this little help to understand our relationship. Anytime Pastor Lohse does something good, you can thank me. And should he mess up, it means he cut class. Also, I'd like to thank the children and relatives of the senior choir for having brought the senior choir people here on time. Just thought I'd mention it. Let us begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. So each member family of this congregation received one of these cards. Some of you may have remembered to bring it along with you to church today. Of course, if you're anywhere as forgetful as I am, you probably left it on the kitchen table. Not to worry, send it in this week and all will be well. But what is this little card? A promise? To be sure. A way of helping the leaders of this congregation plan for the year to come? Without a doubt. But I'm here to tell you today that this little card is something else altogether. This card is a cup of cool, clear water. You just heard what Jesus said, didn't you? For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. This card represents your promise to give to countless bearers of Christ's name, beginning with those who serve you in this congregation, a cup of water. Cool, clear water. Now, some of you who are old enough may recognize that Bob Nolan song that has that line in it about a man and his mule and a mirage in the desert. Hank Williams sang it, countless others. But this song has a special place in my heart since 1958, when I was 7 years old, going on eight. We were living for the summer in Evanston, Illinois, just north of Chicago, and I was completely taken by the television show Wyatt Earp, the lawman played by Hugh O'Brien. Now, when my dad got wind of the fact that O'Brien was going to appear in Comiskey Park in Chicago for the 4th of July, the whole family piled into our 1957 Chevy for the occasion. And as my dad loved to recount years later, just as O'Brien started singing, "Cool, clear water," the heavens opened and the fireworks and Hugh O'Brien were washed out. At least, my dad said, that was one prayer that God answered immediately. And that's what this card is for you and this congregation. A cup of water. No, rather, it's a flood prayer. You know, I have to admit there's a lot of misinformation that religious folk try to pass off as the truth when it comes to money. Give it to me, they cry, and God will give you even more later. I live quite near to Brooklyn, and if you believe that, there's a bridge I'd love to sell you. Or, this money goes directly to God and to the Lord's work. Not really. No, it goes to fix the roof, keep the camp running, pay the pastors and the other staff here, but not directly to God. And even you can hear, well, you can only be a true Christian if you give 10%. Despite the fact that the tithe was Israel's tax, and that the New Testament never mentions, let alone commands, giving 10%. Because for some of you, that would be too little. And for others of you, far too much. So instead today, let's be honest. When you put money in the collection plate, it's gone. You'll never see it again. No chance to spend it on an Apple iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy. No chance to take a cruise in the Bahamas or buy an ice cream cone. It's gone. Because it never really was yours in the first place. Instead, Christian giving is like pouring a glass of cool, clear water for this world's thirsty ones. They'll take it and drink it and perhaps not even remember to say thank you. But that's a perfect picture of Christian giving. A cup of water in a thirsty land, sheer profligacy. Because with this card, this cup of water, you're giving away not something that you own, but rather something that was given to you too. St. Paul said it best. What do you have that you did not receive? You see, this reveals the other fallacy about giving, that we own what we give. No, none of it's ours. Everything's a gift from God, even this little card. And you see, once we realize that everything is a gift, that everything depends on God's grace, then Christian giving is not a matter of boasting, but only of thanksgiving, of gratitude. Then we who give our cups of water to the thirsty of this congregation, you see, are ourselves thirsting and depending on God for everything. What do you have that you have not received? Paul asks and continues, and if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? You see, it's a gift. And all of our giving depends not on our generosity, but on God's. We are mere thirsty beggars waiting for a thunderstorm. Now, good old Martin Luther knew this. He's the fellow I study for a living. In February 1546, just after he died in the town of his birth, Eisleben, his friend and colleague, Justus Jonas, noticed some papers on the writing desk in Luther's room. There, on the last piece of paper Martin Luther ever touched, he wrote, "Wir sind Bettler, hoc est verum," mixing German and Latin. We are beggars, this is true. And Lutherans still know this. Back when I was a child in a congregation in Laurel, Maryland, we always sang the same hymn at the offering. It wasn't written by Martin Luther, but its author, the Anglican bishop William Walsham Howe, sure echoed the same point as Luther's last words scratched on paper. "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." Or, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." A slip of paper, nothing more than cool, clear water. Maybe next Gratitude Sunday, everyone should bring an umbrella. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.